Good morning, and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. We are on day 252, and that brings us to Colossians chapter 3. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word and for another day of life, another opportunity to dig into your word together. Show us Christ. Reveal him to our hearts and minds and souls that we might love him more and think about him more and by the power of your Holy Spirit, live more like Christ today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Colossians chapter 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. That's Colossians chapter 3. So it's interesting that yesterday we were talking about covenant obligation and how, you know, the Mosaic covenant is not a covenant of works just because it has covenant obligations for God's people. It is a gracious covenant because it's founded on God's sovereign choice of Israel, which is based on his love for them, and he redeems them first before he gives them his law, and he shows them his grace, and he gives them his commandments. It's the same thing in the new covenant. It's a more complete unfolding. It's a time of fulfillment. So what was promised has been fulfilled in Christ, and Christ is our righteousness, and he has come, and he has died for us, and he has risen again. Some of the things we looked at in Colossians 1 and 2, and he sits at the right hand of God the Father. But still, if we are in Christ, we have real covenant obligations. This whole chapter is a bunch of commandments. Commandment, 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 commandment. Not suggestions. Not, you know, doesn't really matter if you do it or not, but maybe you should if you feel like it, you know. No, it's commandments. It's obligations. It's a call to holy living, to Christ-like living. begins in this chapter with where our minds are, where our aspirations are, where our goals are, where our vision is. Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and our life is hidden with Christ in God. Christ is our life. So you need to start with that, right? Where is Christ Jesus? He's at the right hand of God the Father, and he's coming again to judge the living and the dead. All right? Who is your life? Christ Jesus. Where is your life? In Christ Jesus. Okay. Then seek the things that are above. Set your minds on heavenly things, not earthly things. Your earthly self was crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20 tells us that. Been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who's in me. So we are in Christ. Christ is in us. Therefore, we should live like Christ. And that begins by setting our minds, setting our hearts, setting our desirings on heavenly things. What did Jesus say? Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Seek the things that are above. That means treasures in heaven. Set your mind on things that are above, and your heart will follow. What does that mean? Well, it means there's some things that are earthly in nature and that must be put to death in the believer. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry, right? These things are self-serving, flesh-craving, this world-only pleasing, and they're just inappropriate for the children of God. We should not chase after them. We should put them aside. The wrath of God is coming because of these things. Yes, before we knew Christ, we walked in those things. Why? Because we didn't have anything else. All we had was sexual immorality and impurity and passion and evil desire and covetousness. All we had was a continual craving for how we can get more of what will make us happy. That's it. That's, you know, we're talking about the American dream. That's basically the pursuit of the American dream. I want to become wealthy enough so that I can have a continual supply of more and more of what's going to make me happy. Well, that's not eternally satisfying. That's not what treasures in heaven look like, and that's not what we should be living for. So we should put away anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk. What does this have to do with the other list? Well, this is the way we behave when we're trying to get those other things, right? Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, that's the things we're trying to get. And when we're trying to get those things, we're often very angry about it. We're often very wrathful. We're very malicious in the way we treat others. We're slanderous. We may be obscene in our talk because we're trying to get more of this stuff for ourselves, right? We might lie to try to get what we want. Lie, cheat, and steal. Beg, steal, and borrow to get whatever you can get. Well, we need to put all that aside. We have a new self. We've been given a new self, renewed in knowledge after the image of our Creator. And among the things that get put aside are racial and class-based prejudices. There's not a Greek-Jew distinction. There's not a circumcised-uncircumcised distinction. There's not a barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free distinction. We're no longer prejudiced to think my people in my class of life, in my racial background, we're the good ones. No, 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 no. All of God's chosen ones are God's chosen ones, right? Verse 12 tells us we are God's chosen ones. That should remind us of what we read a couple days ago in Deuteronomy chapter 7, being the chosen people of God. We are holy. That means we're set apart by God for God. We are loved. And so if we are God's chosen ones who are set apart by him for his purposes, and we are loved by God, what should characterize our lives? Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another. If one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. This is a way of saying, I've been treated not as my sins deserve, but I've been treated with love and compassion and kindness. So I should treat others with forgiveness, love, compassion, kindness. I should be humble because what I have, I didn't get for myself. I should be meek, treating other people the way I would want to be treated. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together. The law, the moral law of God, is a law of love, because God is love, and love should bind everything we do together. We should let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. We should let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Notice that passive language. You can't go grab the peace of Christ. It's not on sale at Walmart. You can't go after it because you gotta have it, right? You let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. You let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You receive from God by his grace. And then out of that, you do act, you teach and admonish one another, you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God because you've received by grace. So you freely give to one another and you sing praise to the Lord. And I love this, verse 17. It's a great verse to memorize. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's what we're called to do. And then he gives his paragraph of household codes. We looked at these in Ephesians in more detail, but he's saying even the relationships we have within a family, within a household, should be all be transformed by the gospel and by doing everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wives, if you're gonna be a wife in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, if you're gonna husband your wives in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're going to not be harsh with them. Children, you'll obey your parents. Fathers, you'll not provoke your children. Yes, it's hard. It's actually impossible for us to do on our own. It's only as the word of Christ dwells in us richly. It only is as our hearts are filled with gratitude for the Lord. It's only as we do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can even begin to walk in these things and do these things. But we can do them really and truly by the grace of God and for his glory. So whatever you do, he says, work heartily for the Lord, because he's the one we're really serving in whatever God calls us to do. So if you're a student called to go to school, if you're a worker called to go to work, if you're a pastor called to shepherd the flock, if you're a teacher called to teach people, if you're a mechanic called to fix cars or whatever, whatever you're called to do, do it to the best of your ability with all of your heart, serving the Lord Christ, because he has been so good to us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the glory of the gospel, for the hope of our salvation, for the treasure laid up for us in heaven, and for the calling of belonging to you as your holy people. We love you. We thank you. We ask that you would be our God and our guide today, and let us not live according to our old self, but let us put on that new self, and let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, and let us be humble and gracious and loving and thankful because of all that you've done for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining me for Colossians 3. I hope you have a blessed day in the Lord.